Hi guys, welcome to the Two Moms Zero Attention Span podcast. I'm Jess.
I'm Heather.
And today we are talking with one of my very, very best friends in the my best friend in the entire world. We grew up together. We have known each other since we were 6 years old, and she was calling me a tag-along baby on the playground. And then
I don't remember that in my defense.
What?
I don't remember that in my defense.
I do. So, and then somehow we became inseparable after that. We went on every vacation together, every holiday. And Heather is a mom herself now. So she has a beautiful 1-year-old, 16-month-old?
No, 14.
14-month-old. And she is in her 10th year of teaching. So I thought it would be really fun to ask her, because if you're on social media, you know that teaching and teachers and the trouble that teachers are having in their classrooms is a huge topic of conversation. And it comes up a lot in parenting as well, because a lot of the conversation sometimes revolves around parenting. So Heather's been a teacher for 10 years. She's taught third grade, seventh grade math, fifth grade. And she was part of the team that was the first school in Virginia to become a nationally four school in her county, yeah. In her district of Virginia to become a nationally distinguished Title I school. She was also part of the team that was featured on a docuseries. She worked with the tattooed skateboarding principal, and there was an entire docuseries about their school and the principal specifically. And she was part of the both teams that were featured and nationally recognized. Specifically with their, I really like what I took away from the docuseries was how much care all the kids got. That was such a big focus. In the docuseries was the principal Hamish Brewer.
Hamish, yeah.
Knew every single kid's name, knew everything about them. You guys knew everything about the kids, the teachers, the staff, knew the kids, knew everything about them. Like, just took so much care and time and love with all the kids. And I feel like they featured that so much in the docuseries. So I wanted to talk to you because I was interested in your thoughts about the teacher turnover that there's, I don't know if your school's experiencing it, but my kid's school just had a 60%, we got a 60% of their staff is new this year at my kid's school, 60%. So
that's so crazy.
I know. And one of the things that we keep hearing a lot about is that a lot of the turnover has to do with children's behavior. Do you think that there's some merit to that? Or do you think that it's a much, much bigger issue?
I think it's a bigger issue. I think behavior, students' behavior is definitely part of it, and more so since the pandemic. That has definitely been more of an issue recently. I think teacher turnover has always been a problem. I mean, we're not paid great. It's a lot put on us, because there's not just the actual teaching, there's everything behind the scenes with paperwork and grades and communicating with parents and meetings. And there's just so much that, you know, they expect us to fit into a 7-hour day, which obviously is not, you're not able to do that. So it then goes beyond the 7-hour day or beyond our contract hours. But more recently, I would say student behavior has been hard. I had a particularly difficult class last year, and it definitely at points made me question whether I should continue in this profession. So,
and do you think that that has to do, because I hear a lot of people say that it has to do with the parenting, that it's like, it's this new style of parenting, this new way of parenting. Do you think it has it, that there's merit with that, that it has to do with this new style of parenting? Or do you think that, because part of what I think is that everybody was kind of, you know, let down during the pandemic. And because parents had to be working, kids were supposed to be doing school, but they were with parents who were had to work, had to make a living, had to. Is it so much the parenting, or is it that everybody was stretched so thin and now we're expected to go back to regular? I don't know. I'm just curious.
For me, I'm not sure it's, you know, anything having to do with like a new way of parenting. What I saw a lot during the pandemic, and like granted, the students I typically work with are come from families that are more underprivileged. Parents might work two or so jobs. So what I feel like I saw personally was that during the pandemic, parents were working and kids were left on their own, left to be on devices, left to social media. Like that's how they were able to communicate. And again, I, you know, worked through the pandemic with fifth graders and had just come from seventh grade. So was, you know, more so thinking of the older elementary, middle school age, and just things that these kids were seeing and doing on social media and through technology, and not getting the chance to interact face to face with kids. You know, now I feel like a lot of the behavior is coming from, they don't know how to work in a group or with partners. They can't speak kindly to one another. You know, there's a lot more drama on the playground or physical aggression. And I think it's not because of anything per se that parents are doing. It might be more so what wasn't done. Or what the kids missed out on when they were remote and they were stuck at home and they couldn't go see friends and they couldn't be in social situations to learn social, what is acceptable and what isn't. You know, they're learning from TikTok videos.
Yeah. And now, and I feel like you said two things that people think a lot about. And one of them is kids on electronics, on social media, and the time spent and how that is impacting them, because these kids are really guinea pigs for this kind of thing. Like it's been around, right? But they're the first generation that had to go through a pandemic with working parents. And this is not to fault any parent, because everybody's got to make a living. You have to. And so everybody just kind of did their best. And now we're kind of playing catch up. And I feel like a lot of people are getting blame that they don't deserve. I feel like teachers are getting blame that they don't deserve. I feel like parents are getting blame that they don't deserve. Kids and their behavior are getting blame that they don't deserve. Yeah. Everybody's just trying to,
you know, move forwards. And
yeah, of course they were on devices, because what else were they? They couldn't go see friends. They couldn't do those things that they're supposed to be doing. And then,
And then school was on a device. So how can you expect a kid to spend so many hours doing schoolwork on a Chromebook and not expect them to then, you know, explore websites or social media?
Go play their video games.
Yeah.
And of course they're on social media because they don't get to see other kids. So why wouldn't you go to the one place where you can see other kids?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it makes sense. I think it's just, TikTok and other social media for me with students, it's like, I just want to tell some parents, like, why don't you know what they're looking at, what they're posting? They should be making smarter choices, but they're learning and, you know, they're 10. So parents need to help with that learning. And I just, my message would be, parents, be more vigilant about what they're doing.
Something that I think about a lot, that I like, because even like my kids watch YouTube sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. It is so hard to appropriately monitor those things, because now they've added YouTube Shorts. Like it used to be easier because, okay, if there's a channel that's appropriate and they're on that channel, fine. But now when they go to a next video, they'll come upon a short. And when they start scrolling through Shorts, you know, and you can say, don't get on Shorts, don't get on Shorts. It's so easy for that. And you can't control what comes up next on a short. And then you can't control the like commercials that they put on these appropriate channels either, because sometimes I'll hear it and I'm like, what is that? And it's an ad for something that is not meant for a 5-year-old. And it's on but it's on a channel that's meant for a 5-year-old. It's on like a learning channel. It's so like, I feel like where this generation of parents is trying to figure it out, but the technology moved faster than we did.
And we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to be a generation that's like tech savvy. Like we did grow up with technology. We should be good at it, but yeah, it's going so fast and
it's going so fast. And I do worry a lot about what kids are exposed to at what ages and how much influence you're able to have. Because when kids were 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 before, you had the vast majority of the influence over what they were exposed to, you know, and you still do to an extent, but I feel like it's so much easier for things that you don't want your kids exposed to or to see to slip in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I do.
No, it's hard. Definitely easier said than done.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like kids are growing up faster? Like, have you noticed from when you first started teaching to now, 10 years ago, do you feel like kids are growing up faster?
100%. The things these kids know and have access to, like, things from last year blew my mind. In my 9th year teaching last year, but things that these kids were doing and saying and posting on TikTok, I could not believe. We'll go into detail because it was bad.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, and they're definitely growing up a lot faster. I mean, goodness gracious. I think about myself when I was in school, like, didn't even know what some of these things were until way down the road. Cause I didn't have older siblings. I didn't really have older cousins and didn't have the social media or the internet like they do now. And so, but yeah, even just from 10 years ago or so to now, I definitely would say that they seem to be growing up or trying to grow up faster.
I feel like even when we were, and I feel like, you know, in everything, they don't, like, when I look at kids today, especially preteens, they are so cool compared to how we were as preteens. Like,
when we were 10, we were making the TUI. We were putting like an extra seat on the bicycle and riding the bicycle together and calling it a TUI.
Yeah. We were like coming up with silly little games, and we were like, you know, taping skateboards to the bottom of like a lawn chair and pulling it behind the bike. And
that was fun though. That was fun. We made dances, but they were not filmed. Like, I can remember us making dances at sleepovers and stuff, but
We made up dances to the Cheetah Girls, to the Spice Girls. We dressed up. I hope to God we didn't film any of those. And if we did, I hope that footage is no longer available.
Oh my God, VHS tape somewhere.
We weren't cool. Like, the kids are cool today. Like, they're
no.
So style, their makeup, their everything. But again, you know, they have access to that. We were just like, I don't know. So that's a good point that you brought up too, is that it's not just, it doesn't just come down to parenting. It doesn't just come down to those types of things. There's a lot that goes into it. One question though, because, you know, I talk about gentle parenting, which is, you know, probably interesting for you to watch as somebody who grew up with me my whole life to see me talking about parenting. And I know your mom watches, which I know. Well, and I was worried about that because your family was like a second family to mine. Yeah. And I never want anybody to see my content and feel like I was maybe judging them or like the way, cause like she wasn't a gentle parent, but she was so loving and like involved and everything else. So I never want her to think that like I'm retroactively judging any parent.
Oh no, I don't think she thinks that at all.
Thank God.
Not at all.
So I talk about gentle parenting and that gets a lot of flack for why the kids act the way they do. Cause they'll go, oh, it's gentle parenting is ruining these kids. Do you think that there is merit to that argument, or what do you feel about that?
I'm going to be honest, like from the teacher point of view, I wouldn't be able to tell you which parents use gentle parenting or not. Like, I'm not in their households with them. I don't see what's going on behind the scenes.
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that because sometimes I see people talk about, oh, it's the gentle. And I know that they're, how do you know? Unless they 100% told you, because some parents, I mean, this is just the truth. You can look like your sweetest honey to your kids. And then behind the scenes, you'll know really what's going on. Like sometimes, of course, there are clues. There are real context clues. Like if a kid's saying something off the wall and you're like, oh, you heard that somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's a lot of times where you don't know for sure. You don't know 110%.
Not at all. And also, I mean, I've come across a lot of parents in my time. And you know, there are a lot that in an email or on the phone will say the right thing to support. And like, you know, they're going to talk to their kid about this, this and that. And it's kind of like, once you're off the phone or once you read the email, like, did they follow through? Did they actually do it? It's, you know, you can, as the year goes on, you can definitely start to tell which parents are following through at home, which ones are being supportive, which ones tell you what you want to hear as the teacher, but then don't follow through. And then which ones just don't communicate at all. But honestly, like, yeah, you can't really tell. And I don't think, you know, from what I've learned about gentle parenting from you, I have to be honest, I can't say I've like gone and done my own research, aside from talking with you and seeing your posts. I don't think that's it at all. I think it's,
it would be
just
like how my mom was with us growing up.
Yeah. And you know, I don't think, because I don't know, I think consequences should match the problem or the behavior that was wrong. And so things like, you know, when we were younger, like kids getting spanked, like what is that? How is that consequent match? You know? And
that's,
it's just
funny that you're saying that, because I didn't know how you felt about spanking. I know we're like best friends. I've never asked you though, but I know.
Yeah. I mean, I was spanked.
You never got spanked, really, though. Your brother did, but
my brothers did.
Your brothers did.
But yeah, I don't think I would. I just don't understand. I don't see where that fits to like ever be an inappropriate consequence to an action. And like, unless, like, I think it's a way to like, for parents to maybe get some aggression out or stress out. Like, that sounds terrible, but you know, I don't think it's teaching the kid anything, and it's all about teaching. So, you know, I'm all about stern, like high expectations as a teacher.
You're
and a
very
parent.
Firm. You have high expectations. You're very
yeah.
firm.
Oh yeah. And with my students know, and they love me, but they know I have high expectations, and I'm not going to play around if they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. And that's definitely something I had to learn as a teacher, but, you know, classroom management comes, but.
Because you're definitely not the type of person that would ever have like a free for all in your classroom. Like, you're fun, you're involved,
yeah,
but you're very yeah. firm, and you have.
No, like the other day I did the worm in my the classroom, but it was, that was some student engagement, and like, yeah, they were on it. And like, afterward or before and after, because it was something they had to earn to see me do something weird, is how I put it.
Another thing that I keep seeing is that that teachers specifically are saying is a problem, is an issue, is that kids are so unimpressed. Like, they'll try to do something fun in their classroom, or they'll think something is going to be cool or interesting or come up with something for the classroom, but it's hard to impress kids today. Like, they continue to be like, they'll say, oh, we're going to do this fun thing, and the kids don't really care or are not motivated or not excited. It's not, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. Yeah. Thinking about it, I mean, there are definitely things that, like, I think it's how the teacher words fun. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if I were to be like, oh, we're going to do this fun activity, and then I give them a worksheet with like a mystery picture where they have to like color in to figure out the picture, that's not fun. Like, that's just another worksheet.
Yeah.
You know, but haven't done it in my current school, but like in my old school in Virginia, you know, we did a lot of like, teachers flipped classrooms. I had a coworker who made their whole room like Mario Kart, mm-hmm. Totally came in, redid the thing. We would do like blackout days where we would, you know, put black lights in our classroom, and things that we did were, you know, with glow sticks or, you know, highlighters so that they would glow in the dark. I would say those, it takes a lot of work, and yeah. it's a lot of prep and time, and it's a lot.
That's not an everyday thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Not an everyday thing for sure. I think it's just, you know, if teachers are calling everything fun or thinking everything's fun, like, it's not. And, I think you need to learn your students, learn their interests, and, play to those interests. But there are definitely some things that still, like, like kids have fun with. One games that I do that's a review game, and you can do it for like any subject. It's so easy. It's called Castles. The kids get into small groups and they draw a castle, and then I put all their pictures on the board of their castles, and then I say put a math problem on the board, and each kid is responsible for individually solving, but then as a team they can discuss and make sure they're all on the same page. And then I roll a die and that lands on a number which relates to a team, and I can call on any kid in that team to give me the answer. And if it's correct, then as a team they get to attack another team's castle. And so attacking is, I just put like an X on their castle on the board. And so it's really funny because then they start making alliances and this and that. And if a castle gets three strikes, then it's been destroyed, but then they continue playing so they can continue attacking castles. So, you know, kids love it. It takes like barely any planning. It's so easy. And so that's something that I think, you know, kids enjoy, and they enjoy year after year. But with other things, it really depends on the group. Like what a group of kids enjoy one year might not work the next year. And as a teacher, you just need to keep being creative, keep coming up with new ideas and getting to know your kids.
That's, and the other thing is too, is you were saying, you have to learn your kids. But I think that also goes back to the principle that you kind of started under, because that was something I feel like you guys really focused on, was getting to know each of your kids and like understanding your kids and really learning about them. And I feel like you probably took that, because you're not with that principal or that school system anymore, but it's something that probably helped shape your entire teaching career.
Oh yeah. I was very fortunate to have been hired by him and like work with him for like 6 years or so and learn as a new teacher. But relationships are so important. I mean, you need to have a relationship with kids, and some kids are so relationship based, like some of the more difficult kids. Like if you just can get to know them and form a relationship and have them trust you, it makes such a big difference.
Changes like the whole trajectory of the year from how 100%. It's going. Yeah. And that's interesting, because another thing is sometimes I'll see teachers talk, like there's two different types of conversation on teacher talk, which I'm on a lot, or teacher
Instagram,
probably yeah. on it more than you. Yeah, teacher Instagram, there's two different conversations. One that really loves the ideas of gentle parenting, and one that's like, no, it's ruining our classrooms. Kids can't hear no. But then the other side talks about how a lot of what you do is, a lot of what you see in gentle parenting, teachers have been doing since the beginning of teaching. Like,
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, I have learned about gentle parenting through you, from our conversations and from seeing your videos. But like one thing I know is that you give kids a choice, mm-hmm. you know, and as the parent or as the teacher, the options should be things that they are, you know, you're comfortable with, either one that they pick. But then on the kid's end, you know, they're getting choice. So as an adult, it might be, okay, do you want broccoli or do you want peas for dinner? You know, kid gets a choice, they get to choose. As a teacher with like discipline, it can be, okay, you can continue working right here, and I'll come back in a few minutes and maybe we can have a discussion about what's going on, or you can go take a breather out in the hallway and I'll meet you there in a few minutes. Like, you know, something like that. If a kid's seeming stressed or amped up, you know, giving them a choice that's going to allow them to feel ownership of what they're doing. But then as the adult, like, you know, you're still getting to where you want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, giving two, that's like the 101. That's like what you talk about with like, especially with toddler, like when you talk about toddler behavior a lot, is like giving them choices, because they have no choices, and that makes life tough, because like they have zero autonomy over anything that happens. So of course they throw themselves to the ground every once in a while, because what else are you supposed to do when you have? So yeah, that's another thing, is that you guys have been using gentle parenting or respectful, whatever you want to call it, methods in the classroom since the beginning of time.
Like, big thing now is like calm down corners. I don't know if that would be how that would relate to maybe your gentle parenting, but like,
you know, I just, you mean?
Yeah, in the classroom, just a comfy space in the room. And we have just a symbol. My kids hold up a C just for calm down corner or calming corner, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, over there I have fidgets. I have, you know, coloring books. I also have like things on the wall that talk about breathing exercises so that, you know, if they're feeling overwhelmed, if they're feeling stressed, they're mad, they're sad, whatever it might be, like they can go over there and just take a few minutes, take a breather, and before they return. So, you know, they also have that as a choice so that, you know, emotions don't escalate to something worse.
Like a behavior. Yeah. My kid's school has something similar. They utilize something similar in the classroom with like, it has like, my one son's has like beanbag chairs and books and like fidgets and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the kids can come back. And I think it's like, I think after like 5 minutes, the teacher will like, if they haven't come back on their own, will be like, hey, ready to join, you know? So.
And I think most kids are good about not like abusing it. I think when it was first introduced to me, I just immediately thought, oh, well, that's a great place for work avoidance. Like kids are just going to go over there and just mess around. And, but we have a conversation about it at the beginning of the year. And I don't think I've ever had to talk to kids about, you know, using it too frequently or not. And even
using it to get out of like,
I think I've had to once before, you know, I was like to a kid, I was like, hey, I've noticed you've been here a couple times the past week. Like, do you want to talk about what's going on? It must be something must be really bugging you if we need to use the calm down corner so many times. And it was a student that I knew was, you know, probably fine and just using it to get out of work. And that, like, just wording it that way didn't have a problem after that.
Yeah. Because then it, like, because it's like, you know, you take them, you don't put them on the defensive. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But I feel like that's a good place to wrap it up. I wanted to do a game before we go. So let's play two truths and a lie. And this will be good because we know so much about each other.
Okay,
so you go first. I'll give you.
No, you go first.
All right.
I need to think.
Give me a few seconds to think of a lie, because that's going to be the hard one. You're going to know the true ones, obviously. Okay, so here's my two truths and a lie. Okay, so my first one is that I only played 2 years of soccer in college. My second thing is that when we took the PSATs our junior year, I accidentally farted really loud in the quiet testing room.
Okay.
And the third thing is that I very recently found a snake in our house. And I had to get it out on my own with no help.
Okay, well, yeah, you made these hard.
I had to.
I know. I feel like you only played 1 year in college because you got hurt. So I think that's the lie.
I played 3 years in college.
That was the time that we weren't in communication as much.
Not as much. It was hard in college. We went to different colleges. College is busy.
Yeah.
Meeting new people, you know. Yeah. So we only saw each other really on the holidays during that time.
Yeah.
I played 3 years in college.
Okay, so that was totally wrong. My bad. What was your second one again?
So that was the lie because I said 2 years.
Oh, there we go. I still guessed it. My reasoning was wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, God, you got a snake out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
With a broomstick.
But remember that time when we thought someone was like in my mom's house and we made my brother's friend, who was like also our neighbor, come over and search? That's what I would have done. I would have left the house and not come back in until someone else came to get the snake.
I had a lot of fears as a kid. There was several times when
I
we had
think
to leave.
yours just like
You also had weird
off
fears.
I did.
You had
So maybe
arguably
we
more weird fears than I did as a kid.
I just yeah, maybe we shouldn't we were not like a good pair.
You may
Like the time we thought a guy was with a chainsaw was in my mom's house and like
As a
I don't know.
unit, we had a lot of anxiety and we were left
Yes.
alone too much with all.
That is true.
All right,
Okay.
two truths and a lie.
Two truths and a lie. Okay. While studying abroad in Paris, my apartment was robbed. That's one. Two, in college, I played on the intramural softball team. And then three, I went to the Ron Clark Academy in Atlanta, which, if you're a teacher, you probably know who Ron Clark is. He's awesome. So, those are my two truths and a lie.
I don't think you played intramural softball. I think you played intramural something or other, but I don't think it was softball. Maybe kickball. Was it kickball?
No,
What was the lie?
that was the lie. I didn't play intramural softball, but I danced. That's what I did. I was on the
Oh,
dance team.
shoot. I was like, you did activ I know you did activities in college. You did
Yeah.
things. You were on a team.
Yeah, I was
The
on the
dance
dance team.
team. That's right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and we will see you guys next week.
All
Bye.
right. Bye.
Bye.